Hello. Thanks for joining us for this Sunday morning's teaching at Dayspring Fellowship. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. All right, y'all. What I kind of want to do today is, a lot of y'all know Sarah and I, but I want to share some things that God's put on our heart and really who we are. Not everything. Don't worry, Sarah. Our heart is for people to abundantly enjoy the life God has for them. And we dislike anything that prevents that. And we'll fight against it, and we'll point it out, and we'll jump all over it and stomp on it and lift people up to what God has created them for. We want people free to be who they are in the Lord. Free to worship. Free to enjoy God's word and the power of God. Free to enjoy the freedom we have. It is for freedom you've set us free. Okay. Free to enjoy the freedom God has for us. And free to be a fellowship of believers together. It's our heart. That's what we want. That's our dream. That's the dreams we have. Let's go, Terrence, if you'd pull up the first scripture, Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. I appreciate what Tricia said a second ago, because it's a lot of what I'm talking about today. This is Jesus going back to his hometown after he's been baptized and the Holy Spirit has come on him at his baptism. He's gone out into the desert and he's tempted by the word of God through Satan. And he comes now and in his hometown in Nazareth, he's handed the scroll from Isaiah and he reads this. He's about 30 years of age. Now, we know from about the age of 12, he knew who his father was, basically. We don't know how much he knew, but this is when he kind of starts his public ministry, basically. And I think Jesus, for approximately those 18 years, had a dream in his heart. I think he saw people around him hurting, and he knew what was there in him to free them. He knew what he could do through the power of God, but God didn't say now until this time. So when he's sitting there and the scroll's handed to him and he reads these verses to him, and then after he reads it, he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I think his dreams are being activated. And so this is an incredible moment in the life of our Lord when he's waited 18 to 30 odd years for this to happen. So I want to read what he says, 18 to 22. He's quoting from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. It's interesting that he who had no sin, who was perfect, who knew he was God's son, said, the Spirit of God has anointed me. He was moved and he was led by the Spirit into things. But when he started his ministry, he was in what for them would have been a church building, a synagogue. But none of the things he listed there were about an organization. They weren't about a building. They weren't about the kingdom of Israel. What he was about, his dream was people. I'm going to preach the gospel to the poor people. I'm going to heal the brokenhearted. I'm going to set free those who are captives. It was all about people. That was his emphasis. That was his dream. His dream was people. And as a body at Dayspring, our dream is about people. You and me. us, them, whoever. We want to preach the gospel to the poor. We want to heal the brokenhearted. We want to set free people who are captive, set free people who are oppressed. We want to declare to people, this is God's year for you. Terrence, will you pop up the next one, Matthew 5:3? What did he mean by the poor there? What did he mean there? I think it goes without saying he meant people who didn't have things. He wants to take care of people who need things. But secondly, Matthew 5:3 said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's also talking about people who understand we need God. I know what I'm really like. I need God for everything in my life. I think most people know that deep down. And what prevents them from reaching God is probably people who don't present Jesus' picture of, I love you, I want you to meet your maker. I want you to have God in your life. And I was one of these, and I'll talk more about that later. You need to be like this for God to love you. You need to be fixed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I think there are a lot of people, even in our area, who know they need God, and there's blockades that have been put in front of them that are either real or imagined, where they don't feel accepted, where they don't feel welcomed. And who really wants to go to a place you're not welcome? I don't. So it's up to us as a church to be poor in spirit. If we want the kingdom of heaven in our lives, in our homes, and in this fellowship, we need to understand how humble we need to be before the Lord and not like we have it all. I think God allows us to have friends and spouses to let us know how lacking we really are, personally. All right, so I want us to be about bringing life to these five groups that Jesus mentioned here, and it's not a end-all, be-all list. There's many others I'm sure you would include. Whatever. I think each of us, probably God's put someone on our heart or a group of people on our heart years ago that we had dreams about that we've just kind of, well, it'll happen, but over time and just life gets in the way, we kind of lose that. I just want to right now, as your pastor, speak to you, and I want to loose the spirit of creativity in your life. I want to loose the spirit, the Holy Spirit who brings us dreams and visions. Acts 2 says, your young men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And that's just not for men. Let's say that first. But I don't think that just means age. I know I've got some dreams from 25 years ago. If we went and asked Scott and said 25 years, he said, that's really old. I think there may be some dreams that were put in your heart as a child, or maybe as a teenager or a young person, that have just gone by the wayside. I want those dreams woken up again. I want us as a body to start dreaming and having visions again, and reawakening the dreams we used to have. We've got plenty of people in this room who can interpret dreams. It's all done by the Holy Spirit anyway, so if you have the Holy Spirit in you, just ask God for the interpretation. And then go talk to someone else to confirm it before, you know, go sell your house or something. All right? Please, check with at least one, sometimes two other people. Wisdom is found in a multitude of counselors. All right. So, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes for these. Jesus preached to people, he counseled people, he healed people emotionally, physically, spiritually, he cast out devils, he spoke in services, he spoke on the street, he did whatever it took. He multiplied food, all of those things. He changed water to wine, all of those things, which that's a gift I'd like to have. But he did all of those things not because they were super cool, although they are. He did those things for people. And that needs to be our focus. When we say we want God's word and the power of God, it's not so we can say, whoa, look at that. It's so it can reach somebody with the kingdom and the gospel. So, Terrence, you can put up 1 Corinthians 11:1. I think there are a whole lot of people out there that need what God has here at Dayspring and other places. I'm not saying other people don't have it. I'm just saying for our group, our body. I think the message of grace and love is our niche in the kingdom, and we can share that with others. Now, I would like, this scripture is always an interesting one to me. It's 1 Corinthians 11:1, where Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I want to say to you all that I'm not Jesus and I'm not the Apostle Paul, all right? I want to invite you to follow me in this. I want to invite you to follow me by God's Spirit to reach people and change people's lives and bring them life. I'm not alone. I'm married. I'm with my wife. I want you to follow us as we follow Christ. Now, what is different about Dayspring a little bit is that we're a fellowship, which means there's not one person who's on top in charge. There's not even two people. We have a group of elders. But even more than that, we believe that God's Spirit can fill and lead anybody in this body to do anything for the kingdom at any time. That's how it's supposed to work. And I'm willing, if you come to us or the elders or anybody else and say, God has led me to do this, will you come help me? I will follow you. Now, I might be busy. You might have to get someone else. You don't have to be, we don't all have to do everything that, you know, if Tricia comes up with something, God's land, Janelle does, and they're at the same time, I may go to one of them, I may not go to either of them. You're not compelled. It's an invitation. But I've come up with a great little slogan that I love. It's not an English grammar. Sheila, you might want to cover your ears. But we follow we. You don't follow me. You don't follow I. We follow we. Every one of us can follow each other if we're led by the Spirit of God together. We can do things individually for the kingdom. That's awesome and great. But there are some big things God's calling us to that it will take more than one at a time. If we're going to affect the area around us, then two or three need to be gathered together. All right, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:33. This is the last verse before the follow me as I follow Christ verse. And they go together. The chapters and verses were put in later. Paul didn't write those down. Listen to what he says here. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul was willing to do anything to reach people for the kingdom of God, for their profit, not his own. Do you see now why the next verse is, follow me as I follow Christ? This was an invitation to the Corinthian church to, this is what I do. I don't do it on my own. I don't do it for myself, but I want to profit everybody around me. So when we follow we want to profit the people around us with the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's saying there. So I've got a couple things that I want to share. Dreams that God's put on my heart. And this is not an end-all, be-all list, but things that I want our body to be involved with somehow, or parts of our body, or groups of us. I don't really care. I'm not even going to be involved in all these things because I'm not capable of it. I'm not. Jesus wasn't capable of it. That's why he got disciples and sent them out to reach more people. All right? So, this body is capable of doing a lot of incredible things. Okay? And I'm going to share the story of Crown briefly to let you all know about this. About 7-8 years ago, the Lord put on Sarah in my heart to start a school. We were employed at a school. We weren't quite sure how this was all going to work. Two groups of friends came to us at different times, didn't know anything about it. One was Steve and Shelley, UHAS. They said, someone needs to start a school. And we're like, yeah, someone does. Then Tanya Woody came to Sarah and I and said, if someone would just start a school. We're like, yeah, I guess that's us. We were at one of our very first elder meetings over at Gray and Catherine's home, and we prayed together, and what the Lord brought out of that meeting was he wanted to reach young people, and he wanted to educate young people. And I remember Fred and Gray standing there, and Fred saying to Gray, Gray, are you going to start a school? And Gray was like, and I could see it wasn't, he had a heart for it, but he didn't feel like he was the one. Well, I was sitting there, and I didn't say anything, because I know he that suggesteth volunteereth. If you suggest it, you're volunteering, so just be aware. That's one of my policies. If you suggest it, you're volunteering to do it. And so we knew. But we also knew this was going to take a lot more than me and Sarah. One of the very first teachers we had with us was Sheila, because as you've already found, we follow we. I can't teach English. And we prayed, and God started bringing it together. We started with 7 kids, 3 of them were ours, and it just, we thought it would go, God spoke to us, the elders spoke to us, people, words of knowledge, God just gonna vroom. God did not vroom. He went, and so we walked through. By the way, it's interesting, you know, when Jesus says today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, they marveled at his gracious words. They marveled at what he said. The grace of God was on his words until someone came against the dream and said, hey, this is Joseph's kid. When you have a dream from God, when you speak the word of God out, something will come against it. And you will have to fight through a period of doubt. You will have to be perseverant. You will have to get help to make it happen. Just because God says it and you believe God says it doesn't mean you've won the lottery. Okay? So we had to fight through that. But God continually spoke to us about it. And it took time, and it took effort, and it took never giving up on it. When it came to the part where we started growing, Gray has always, I've asked him to kind of mentor me at times, he's always had an open door. I came to him and I said, all right, we need more teachers. This is not just a school. This is a ministry. How do I invite people to be employees without asking them, do you believe in the spirit and the movement of God? Can you hear God? And I don't want to get into legal trouble. And his words to me, look where who God brings around you. Look who's already there. So I looked around, and shockingly enough, this body has a lot of teachers in it. And so a lot of people who work at the school here actually came out of this church. That wasn't the intention at all, even a little bit. Melissa was on our school board. It just wasn't what we were intending. And it just kind of happened that way. Now, what we certainly don't have in this church is science teachers, so we need to pray some of them in. Okay, we need some good science teachers. No, just kidding. No one tell Sam that. Wipe it from the tape. But this place, y'all, has grown. God's Spirit is here. People who didn't know God's Spirit came in and said, there's something different about it here. And they naturally went to our educational philosophy, which is great and wonderful and touchdown. Great job. But they were talking about God's Spirit here, and they didn't know what it was. Okay? This school, while not being controlled by Day Spring Church, was birthed out of Day Spring Church. And that's what I mean by this church wants to birth things out and doesn't, this church, we don't have to be in control of everything. We trust each other enough with the Spirit of God that you can start a coffee shop and it doesn't have to be under Day Spring's umbrella. You can start a street ministry and it doesn't have to be controlled by the pastor or the elders. We follow we. I want to invite you to follow each other. All right. So here are the things that I think God has talked to us. Well, one other thing that happened. I've always had a heart for healing. I just believe in it. It's from my dad. He's a doctor. Just, you know, it should be happening is the way I approach it. But one of our very first students was a girl named Hannah. She'd had Lyme disease for 3 years. She was literally bedridden for 2 years. She'd have whole weeks and months where she mentally disappeared in her bed. But she prayed, and she had verses written on her wall. So when she was lucid, she would see those verses on the walls and confess what she believed God was saying over her. She was 17 when she came to school for the first time. They were going to try it. They thought she could handle maybe an hour or two a day. That first day, she stayed the whole day. And she worked, and she worked, and she graduated on time. A girl with Lyme disease, taking the right medications, was I don't know if she still has it or not, but she's basically completely healed. I taught her pre-calculus, and she did pre-calculus in 2.5 months, doing 4 lessons of pre-calc a day with Lyme disease. One of the things she did here at school was she learned photography. It was her interest. Right now, she's on her second YWAM mission trip for a year, being the photographer for the team. Philippines? She's over in the Philippines, y'all. She reached the world. She basically was healed, and it didn't matter what the disease was. That stuff's happened here. And again, this came out of this body. All right, so here are some of the things that the Lord, I believe, has given me. And this is not an end-all, be-all list. We follow we. But I want to invite you to be part of it. Worship, a place where we seek his presence and his words, where people can worship freely and hear God and not feel controlled. Second, I want this to be a place in this area for the gifts of God's Spirit to flow in a safe place built on a safe character. Shelley talked about this being a safe place a couple weeks ago. I invite you to go to the website and listen to that. But also, it's built on the character of 1 Corinthians 13 out of love. No superstars here. No one that we're following because of the gifts of God on their life. All right, Gray spoke to us about 6 weeks about that. About 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago? It's on the website, too. You can listen to it. Every one of us can flow in the gifts here. And we want this to be a safe place where it's ordered, but we want them to flow. Most definitely. By the way, did you all see the kids' chalk writings on the sidewalk when you walked in this morning? Love it. Absolutely love it. I wanted to share the verse, you know, you got to have a faith as a little child to enter the kingdom. Sarah, it came to her, and she asked me where it was. I don't know, but it's there. But I'm going to warn you, if you didn't read them, go out and read them. But you will need the gift of interpretation. These are little kids writing. One of them I just loved. Angles will be with you always. And as a math teacher, I've been telling kids for years, I'm never going to use algebra in real life. Geometry, stupid. I'm like, no, math is a part of your life, and the Spirit of God witnessed that. Of course, the interpretation is angels are with you always. I think I've got all the interpretations, but there's one or two out there that I'm like, I don't know. That's tongues. But just, I just love it. So gift and interpretation is high on the list. Okay. I invite you to be part of the flow of the gifts of the Spirit. I invite you to be part of the safe place. I invite you to have a character based in love. I want us to reach young people and raise them up in the things of God. Young meaning from infants to 50-year-olds. This is not a chronological thing. This is a I just got saved thing. I'm new in the Lord. I want to raise people up in their giftings and who they're. Hey, it could be an 80-year-old. I don't care. All right, you're welcome. I invite you to be part of raising up someone else in the kingdom. I invite you to be a disciple maker. Go and make some disciples. Not leading them to you, but leading them to the Lord, leading them to the kingdom. All right, I want us to reach the poor and hurting in our community. I don't know how. I don't know when. This is not an area of my strength. I know that. I'm going to need a lot of help there. But I want to reach some people who need some help without judgment. I want to do that. I invite you to join me. I want to go into all the world. I want to go to every single place that God puts on my heart. And I invite you to go with me sometime. The ministry that Gray and Catherine have connected with Shampa over in India is just amazing. Sarah and I were watching a video of Father of Lights. She showed it to me that Shampa is in and what she's doing for some of those kids over in India. I want to go and to be part of the world. There are some things I can't, but I know I can support Shampa to do that. I want to be part of that. And there's a whole bunch of other places I want to go for the kingdom. I invite you to be part of that. Now, this next one is really a big one on my heart. Let me talk about healing. I want people to be healed. When I see someone in a wheelchair, my first inclination is, I want to pray for them. My second inclination is, no. I want to listen to the second inclination less and pray for the first more. I have a dream of walking into a hospital with a group of people and healing every sick person in the hospital. I don't know when it'll happen. I don't know if it will happen. But that's my dream. I grew up in hospitals with my dad. I've been there all day long. You know, I want that. All right? I have a dream of being generous. By the way, I hope that my dream, I invite you to be part of that, healing people. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is. I have a dream of being generous. I would love to walk into some small church one day, and as a body, we write out a $100,000 check to them and put it in their offering. By the way, if you're here today to do that, the offering is right over there in the corner by the lamp. Can you just imagine that church secretary or whoever going through the offering? Someone really did put the extra zeros at the end, finally. I would love to do that for ministries, for churches, for whatever. Wow. That would be awesome. With no benefit to us, no benefit to our church, just God asked us to give you this. I really invite you to be part of that because that's cool. All right? And, you know, we can put 100,000 rupees or 100,000 rand in some church somewhere and that'll be close, but I did specify dollars. So I've laid out just a bunch of things and I want to invite you to be part of it. I want us to be part of it. I want we to follow we. Now, we're going to do an altar call here that's a little bit different. We've got some rugs out. I know the floor is hard. Do what you have to do. There's a great rug back there that Steve's already claimed. It's anointed. That's right. The Lord's been talking to Sarah and I a lot about being humble and getting low. And I didn't know all that meant. I rewatched a movie about a month ago called The Revenant. With Leonardo DiCaprio. It was film of the year last year. And in it, he's hurt, he's cold, he is totally helpless, and another hunter has taken a dead buffalo. And DiCaprio doesn't have a weapon, he has nothing that he can do for himself. And he knows if he approaches this other hunter who has weapons and he does it aggressively, he's going to get killed. So what he does, the first thing he does is he comes out from the grass behind the tree and he raises his hands in surrender. And the hunter still has his, I believe it was a bow and arrow, aimed at him at that point. And DiCaprio walks closer. And he was an incredible scout, hunter, great with weapons. He was a survivor. But he's been reduced to nothing and he knows it. And what he does as he comes closer to the fire, he literally kneels down first with his hands raised. And then he lies prostrate on the ground. And it all clicked for me in that moment. Getting low before the Lord or anybody, you're totally humbling yourself. You're saying, I am open to whatever you want to do with my life. If you choose to kill me, then I die. If you choose not to help me, then you don't help me. If you choose to help me, then you help me. And that's what's happening in that movie. I want to invite you to get low before the Lord. If something I said today, one of those dreams or anything, touched your heart or touched you in a place, or another dream that you felt in your heart be stirred, I want to invite you right now to get low all over this room before the Lord and say, my life is yours. I'm here. I surrender. I humble myself before you. Whatever dream you have for my life or want to bring about, I'm getting low before you. We're not going to pray for you. You're not getting low before me or the elder or someone else. You're getting low before the Lord, and you talk to him. And they'll just play. If you need to go, head on out. We bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday.